So it is now September 11th, and this is the Fall Nutrition Counseling Conference call. And my best guess is that we have about 25 or 30 people in the call. Count them all. Please mute your phone if there is noise going on in your office, because there are a lot of us on the call, and it's going to get sort of noisy. There's still conversations going on in the background. If anybody wants to, who has a conversation going on in the background, wants to say to me, "Am I muted?" Go right ahead. I'm not hearing anybody say, "Am I muted?"
Hi.
Okay.
Evangeline.
Okay. Evangeline Samples, I heard you. Did you want to be muted or not?
I can hold my
Okay, I don't know how to mute.
Okay. So do four star, and that will mute
four
you.
Four star.
Mm-hmm.
Mother, okay. Please.
Hey, Don,
no.
Evangeline, I don't think you're muted yet. Four star. Okay, well, let's begin to get started. There is clearly someone still having a conversation in the background. Let's hope they discover who they are and mute themselves. This is a what I call a roundtable conference call, which means that there is no specific content. There's also no charge, and you don't receive any CEUs for this because it's a more random sort of sharing of information, and I don't have anything planned. I'll ask you when you want to chime in. Nobody has to chime in, but when you do, do give your name, geographically where you're calling from, and if you want to, a word or two about the population that you work with. As I say, the overall topic is the counseling process in a nutrition care setting. It's fun when people can chime in with success stories, observations of what they've noticed, of what works well when they're, for instance, using MI skills, or if you have a resource to share or a training opportunity coming up. And, boy, there's still an awful lot of noise. Is there someone calling in from area code 219 who called in a few minutes early?
You know, it's hard not to do
I'm calling from 219, but phone's muted.
But if you have a group,
I'm hearing you. You're not muted.
You know.
I just unmuted and muted again.
Oh, okay. Okay. There may be more people from that area code. There's someone with the extension 4575 at the end of their phone number that seems to be having a lot of noise coming from them. It's getting – oh, I thought it was getting quieter. Well, I hope they discover who they are, who's having a conversation in the background. Who would like to chime in first? And it would be fun if you start with – sharing success stories. We'll also have time for bringing up challenges or asking for ideas from your colleagues. Who wants to start out with something fun and positive?
Well, I don't know. He was on vacation or something, doing military stuff.
Nobody? Anybody has anything positive to share? I'm not hearing anything. If you think if you're speaking and you want to unmute yourself, it's four star to unmute yourself again.
I emailed it to you. I apologize for making you go through all your emails there. Sorry about that.
Hello?
Whoever is talking about emails and sending emails, if you're aware of that, we're hearing you. Okay, did someone want to chime in?
Well, I have a success story.
Sure. Your name?
Okay. This is Patrice. I'm from Southern California, and I work with college students. And,
okay.
I have a young woman who has been struggling with her weight her entire life, mm-hmm. And the last few years on and off of some antidepressant medication, and recently got her medication stabilized, and you know, she's got a boyfriend and she's doing well in school and everything is falling into place for her. And we've been talking about nutrition for a couple years now, but she is finally in a place where she can make some changes. And it's just been wonderful to see her do this. She gets a CSA box every week, and she has adventure of figuring out what to do with all the fruit and vegetables, and we've talked about some of the things that have been new to her. She comes in with pictures of things that she's made, and she is just aglow. It's magnificent.
Blossoming.
Wonderful.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? And Patrice, I'm hearing that you've worked with her for a long time. And so you have the rapport there that allows you to be there when she's ready to really blossom. Oh, isn't that wonderful?
And the nice thing is having seen those times in her life that were challenging, when she just was sort of stuck and not able to make nutrition changes. And now it's like the window's open, and she can try all kinds of things.
Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, is there something you figure that you did that contributed to that, or do you think it's other things in her life, or both?
Well, I think getting the depression medication stabilized, finding a major that she liked, and, you know, we cannot discount love and, you know, what it does for how we feel. And then the other thing, though, that I'm happy with myself for having done was not giving up. As long as she wanted to come, as long as she wanted to keep an appointment, even if it was just to chat about what didn't work or how hard she was trying or whatever, you know, we didn't give up. And every time she came, we worked at finding something that was a positive.
And you were persistent and just stayed there with her. Yeah.
You know, that was not easy for me, but... You know, I did. I have the good fortune of working for an organization that let me do that.
That let you do that. You could have unlimited visits.
And I
congratulations for sticking it out.
Can I mention a challenge with her now?
Sure.
Okay. Now that she has gotten her eating into a much happier place, now she's sort of stuck on physical activity. She is definitely in a pre-contemplation or a contemplation stage, and it's time to nudge in that direction because she does want weight loss, but it's helping her see that adding the physical activity to the healthy eating would help her get there.
Are you saying that she knows that, and yet
she knows it in her head, but she's never experienced. She's never had fun with physical activity. You know, PE class was a nightmare. Everything she's tried to do has always been, you know, very difficult. And
she's shared with you the things that have gotten layered on top for her about physical activity over the years. That's made it really hard. Right. You know, Patrice, I'll ask and see if somebody else has any other ideas too, but I'll mention that you've already been very patient with her, and it may take some patience with this as well.
She graduates in December.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we have
a little anxious. You feel like you have a deadline, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
We take our final in December, you know, or whatever, you know.
Yeah. And notice how that causes your sort of anxiety level or something to go up, because you obviously care about her and you really want to help her. And you don't know how far you'll be able to bring her and how it may be other people who help bring her farther.
I'm getting the idea that maybe this is more about me than it's about her right now, isn't it?
Well, I think it's probably both of you. It often doesn't help, though, if we get our understandably, you know, anxious kind of or even excited feelings, you know, mixed in with it.
Right.
Right. She obviously probably cares about you, too. You're connected with each other. So, I don't know. My thought is to sort of back up and say, how can I help you? You know, and also to back up far enough to ask her what benefits, if any, she thinks she would get from being a bit more physically active. You know, keep it small.
That's right. We're going for a bit, just like we do with the food.
Yeah, a bit.
Going for a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. And see how much you can get her to voice her motivations and what she might want to do. And
but you know the
revelation. What else to suggest?
Rob, I think what I got from this is that this may be just the time to really celebrate and revel in the nutrition changes and the nutrition improvements. And I may be wanting this next
maybe
step.
Maybe pushing.
Or she's
yeah.
ready for it. That's,
yeah.
Thank you. That's a
sure.
really good point.
Sure.
Yeah,
well, it might be.
I think that may be where we are.
Yeah.
Yep.
You never
yeah.
know.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I'm still hearing a very lively conversation going on in the background. And yes, somebody just doesn't know that it's happening. Anybody else like to chime in, either in response to what Patrice was saying, or with their own success story or
yes.
observation or question?
Madeline yesterday said she likes it because she can check off on her calendar
Wow, this is really a lively conversation there. I wish they knew they were interfering with our conference call. I think what I'm going to do is mute a couple people where I think I hear I can tell my system is no, because I can mute them from here. One of them is a 682 area code, and one's a, that's that one. See if that helps. Oh, not sure it did. So who else wants to chime in?
Hi,
hi,
my name is Teresa. I'm in
uh-huh.
Iowa.
Hi.
Hi, I have a private practice and I work with chronic dieters and people with eating disorders.
Uh-huh.
I have she's a 45-year-old female who has had anorexia since she was in her 20s. And she was an inpatient doing intensive weight restoration, and she got out and contacted me for transition care for mm-hmm. being out of inpatient. And she has just been doing such a wonderful job, and she struggled on a daily basis, feeling like, she's not always doing the right thing. Her weight isn't going up that much because she gets sick and then she's not eating. But so, every day is a struggle. And she says things like, I know I can start over every minute. I don't have to wait till tomorrow. And she's just such an inspiration to me. I help her, of course, along the way. I'm there for her, and see her weekly. But she's just determined to move on in her life, and rightly so after 20 years of living with an eating disorder.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, thank you. And I'm like, no, thank you. because she's on the other side and she's really working hard. And it's just such a wonderful experience to work with people who have gotten to the other side. And
right.
She's like, I'm enjoying food. I love to eat. I can't believe I've lived my life without experiencing this and the power of body wisdom and fueling yourself and these types of things.
Wow.
So just a wonderful, it's nothing I did initially, she did it. She did all the work, But, you know, I'm just following her on a weekly basis and just really inspired by her. She's got a lot of strength and been through a lot. So
yeah,
I just thought I'd share that.
Sure, Teresa. And I've worked with some clients like that, too, one who I've worked with for about 15 years, and she's now in a wonderful space, and she still keeps visiting me because she wants to, but she doesn't really
oh,
no. anymore. And I know that feeling honored. That's the way I feel about it. I feel honored to have been there, you know, to have witnessed, basically, all that struggle and how it's paid off. And
yes, it is. It's an honor.
Yes,
and that's what I share with her. And she kind of negates that a little bit because she struggles so much on a daily basis. Like, to her, it's just still so very heavy. But I tell her that it is truly an honor to work with her. So, once they get to the other side, it's just refreshing.
Right. And that's tricky, isn't it? Because some of them do, they have trouble taking that in.
Yes.
Taking in that, how far they've come. And
right, right.
It makes sense to argue with them about it, but
yes, for sure. And she, you know, she really struggles with taking time to care for herself, and so we're working on that a lot. She's got the feeding down; like, she feeds herself really well.
Right.
She can only eat so much, you know, to gain more weight, but she's doing a great job. But now it's like, yeah, you deserve to take care of yourself, and this is how that should look for you. She struggles
right.
with that. So there's always more struggles ahead of her, but she's doing so wonderful.
Of course, there always is. Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, thank you, Teresa.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Sure. Things have gotten a little quieter, and I think that's because I've muted a few people on my end. And so if you try to chime in and you're obviously not being heard, I may have inadvertently muted you. If that's the case, you could, I think you could 4-star and get back on. If that doesn't work, you could always hang up and call back in. Yes? Who is this?
Oh, this is Barbara. I'm calling from Arizona.
Hello, Barbara.
Hi. And I have our social worker here also with me. We work with in-center patients that are on dialysis.
Uh-huh.
We have a large percentage of patients who are in pre-contemplation that we've tried many different avenues to reach them, and it just seems like they don't make much headway. Do you have any advice or suggestions that we could...
Oh, this sounds like the exact same topic that came up in the last call.
Okay.
A few months ago. Did you happen to listen to the
I wasn't on
the
that
last
call. Sorry.
Oh, it is recorded. I'm trying to remember what specific ideas we came up with. And
I didn't know they
actually,
were recorded. Do we access your website for those?
Yes, you go to the website, and under For Nutrition Professionals, there's a thing you can click on that says free roundtable call.
Oh,
last
okay.
Call this spring. So I will point you to that, though. I would also, since you are on the call right now, I don't want to just put you off. What things have you tried already?
Well, we've tried, you know, motivational, like, contests, challenges, like 3-month challenges.
Mm-hmm.
I have a champion PCT who has tried to help me with education, you know, different exercises.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm curious whether I presume you're talking about often being individually with one person at a time.
Yes.
Is that
mm-hmm.
right? Not necessarily groups. Okay.
Right.
I'm curious whether you've yet use the motivational interviewing concept of rolling with resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Have you
yes.
used that yet?
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. Have you used that? The rolling with resistance. That's where you basically say what you see. You simply say, I hear you're not ready.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you don't like my ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're telling me you're not going to make any changes. Basically, you call it out in a gentle, respectful way.
Mm-hmm.
You simply reflect what it is you're seeing. And when you do that, you never know quite what's going to happen. It does tend to take the argumentative
mm-hmm.
part away. I'm imagining
right.
you often feel like you're arguing with people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that doesn't get anywhere, really.
Right.
So you could try, Barbara. I mean, it's worth a try. What do you have to lose, basically? When you find you're arguing with someone or trying to persuade them, instead of taking a deep breath and stepping back for a moment and saying, boy, I'm feeling like we're arguing here. I'm feeling like we're not getting anywhere. And that's
I don't feel like we're arguing. I feel like a lot of them are just not very approachable to begin with, because many of these patients I'm thinking about do understand the diet. They understand what they need to do. They just don't do it month after month.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. You can also use affirmation. You can say,
oh, yes, we do that.
You know, that you're well informed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, you've read up. You're well informed about things. Then you can just add that obviously the choice continues to be yours.
Mm-hmm.
And ask them if there's any assistance that might be useful from you.
Right.
Mentioning choice, because the choice is theirs, and it is. They keep choosing not to make changes.
Mm-hmm.
And another technique that is sometimes used in MI is a hypothetical, where after doing the choice is yours, I hear you're well informed and you've chosen not to make any changes at this time, then come in with if there was one tiny, teeny little thing that you were ready for, what would it be?
Mm-hmm.
Because that wording is more apt to bring out something, if there's anything.
Yeah.
You know, if there was one thing that you'd be ready to change, what would it be?
That's
so that you're not asking the person to say, yes, I'm going to start being more careful about my protein. You know, they're inviting them to simply pick up on one tiny little thing. And stay sort of very backed off, like, you know, if there happened to be one little thing, what would it be? And, you know, try not to pounce on it when
mm-hmm.
they actually mention something. Say, okay, so you're saying you might want to keep an eye on your fluids a little bit. You know, if you did do that, how would you actually do it? What would be your first step? And sort of keep it very hypothetical.
Mm-hmm.
What does that sound like to you, Barbara?
Right, I've often ask them, what changes do you think you could make? But I haven't phrased it quite this way.
Yeah, this way is even more sort of backed off, if you will. Doing it hypothetically. Okay. Does anybody else have any other ideas for Barbara? No? Okay. Great. Thanks for chiming in, Barbara.
Thanks.
And do check out the recording from last spring.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Who else would like to chime in?
Hello, Molly?
Yes.
Hi, my name is Roldana. I actually live right down the street from you.
Hi, Rosanna.
I live in Mount Airy, and I work at Hahnemann.
Okay.
I'm not sure exactly what the didn't know if you were just addressing all types of topics or just eating disorders.
No, not just eating disorders. Anything to do with counseling clients or patients to make changes in the way they feed themselves.
Okay, then, yeah, I work with bariatric patients.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure you know, like, Hahnemann area, we have very low-income patients.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, the two things that always seem to pop up is, you know, cost of healthy food and, you know, especially working mothers, time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much, you know, what I'm dealing with. Like, some people really do admit, yes, I don't, you know, sometimes have, you know, like, I'll eat when I have money, but then when I don't have money, that's when I make my bad choices. So just kind of didn't know where to direct those people or, you know, give them advice. I just try to give them, you know, a lot of cheap, you know, like a lower cost, high protein foods, because that's what we kind of focus on with bariatrics.
Absolutely. And Rosanna, of course, that's part of what, you know, our clients look to us for ideas, and I'm sure you have ideas. My guess is partly some you've come up with on your own and some you've heard from clients who come up with
right.
themselves, right, because they're very resourceful. They've had to be. Yeah, and you
right.
can share those things. And I'll add something to that. And basically, whenever I think of any obstacles that anybody has to change, and time and money are very significant obstacles, or emotional eating, I mean, they're all different kinds of obstacles. With all of them, it makes sense to work on addressing them together. And I'm wondering if you feel like you're already doing that, or whether you could do a little more of it. Do you know what I mean by doing it together?
Just coming up with solutions together instead of telling them what to do?
Yeah, yeah. Not that you don't have wonderful ideas for them. A classic, I don't know, Rosanna, how much motivational interviewing training you've had. But a classic.
I want some more, yes. That's why.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll be doing a workshop in Philly, right downtown Philly, next June for 2 days. But anyway,
okay.
The sort of classic approach is to first ask the client, what do you already know? What ideas do you have?
Mm-hmm.
Both about the, you know, the time or whichever issue you're dealing with.
Yeah, I would just do like a...
Now, Rosanna, can I ask you what area code your phone is?
They're only like the ship on forward, but
like... 267.
We're hearing. Okay, I'm going to mute a few more people here, and I don't want to meet you. Okay. I think I managed to get rid of that.
Brett was like, I really
Oh, gosh, that one didn't work. I don't know where this noise is. If you have noise in the background, please mute your phone.
Okay. Oh,
anyway,
I don't,
Rosanna.
Yeah, that's not me.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I don't think it was yours. So, Rosanna, the first thing to do is to say, you know, Rosanna, I call those the ooh, ooh, ooh moments where you go, ooh, I've got some ideas for you. You know, we all have
right.
those kind of moments where – I've trained myself to first go, so what you're saying is there are times when the end of the month or the end of the week, you're really struggling to have the money for food. Tell me how you handle that in the past. What have
uh-huh.
you done? What ideas have you come up with? What resources do you have? What's in your neighborhood? You know, ask them first all that stuff. Then
mm-hmm,
you at
mm-hmm.
least have some stuff you can affirm. You can say, wow, you do have a good support system in your family, or you're really creative, or, you know,
mm-hmm.
you can affirm something that you notice first. And then you say, let's see, are you looking for ideas from me? And then hopefully you have some.
Okay.
And then you offer them and then say, so what does that sound like to you?
Yeah.
So
I've done that myself, and I do see that, you know, when you're affirming something, it gives them some confidence and also trust in you. So I just need to remember to do that more.
Yeah, sort of. So it's a little bit of sort of slowing down and taking your time with it. Rosanna, there's another little thing that research has shown, which is so funny. When I discovered that, it made so much sense to me. When you have, let's say, three different ideas for someone, if you offer them one at a time, and after each one that you offer, you say, what do you think of that? They're more apt to shoot you down. You know, it's like pulling one thing out of a rabbit out of a hat. And they might shoot you down, you know. And then you pull out another one, and then they shoot you down. And then you begin to feel pretty awful at that point. the dynamic is not going very well. If you can manage to find a way to offer three or so things at once, like you can say, well, you know, like I have about two or three ideas that I've learned from other clients. Let me see. Let me just toss some of them out, and then we'll see which one of those might work for you. And then you quickly, as fast as you can, sort of toss out a few of them and then say which, if any, of these might be useful for you. The research shows that people are more apt to pick up one of them than if you instead, you know, do one at a time, pull one rabbit out of a hat and then another rabbit out of a hat.
All right. Thank you
anyway,
so much.
Sure. boy, still some background noise. So anybody else want to chime in?
Hi, this is Brooke from North Carolina.
Hello, was that Brooke?
Yes.
Yes. Hi, Brooke.
Hi. My question is more, I work at a university as well, an arts conservatory, and sometimes it's difficult for me to figure out how to align goals with the students that I'm working with, especially the ballet population. We have some that will be at a very healthy weight, but for the ballet world, they want to drop 10 or 15 pounds to be in a company. Wouldn't necessarily make them overweight, but I tend to see them start to binge and start kind of failing with that whole process because I think they're trying to get to a weight that their body doesn't want to defend.
Right. And then it makes logical sense to you that they then will, you know, end up bitching because they're under eating.
Yes.
Is that right?
That's what I've seen. They get frustrated because the scale doesn't move or whatever it might be, and they just end up binge eating.
Right. And then they could slide all the way into quite an eating disorder, possibly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some of them are recovering from eating disorders in the past. I mean, it's just very prevalent in this career field. And we also have a lot of drama students. And so it's hard for me, from my perspective, to sort of meet the client where they are and help them with the goals they're working on when I don't quite agree that it's the right way to go. Especially when they're being encouraged by their faculty and their instructors to kind of go in that direction.
To lose weight, or they're told that they'd be more apt to get the best jobs if they lost weight, or that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Ugh. And that is out there, isn't it? Thank you, Mr. Balanchine. Anyway, so this is a issue that comes up all over the place, doesn't it? Let me ask you first how you've handled it so far.
So far, I try to present the facts. Like, I'll talk to them about dieting and their set point. I'll talk to them about the weight they are and that it could be difficult to defend and take more effort than they might want to put in. And I fully disclose that a lot of people end up binging and going up the scale instead of down. Every student just thinks they'll be different.
Absolutely, Brooke. And what I'm hearing you those facts that you share with them strike me as absolutely the facts. And they're the ones that you know from, you know, physiology and metabolism and everything from grad school, but also from your experience you've seen that. And so you present those things. And these people are fairly young, and so they do think they're immortal and that they're different.
Yes. Yeah.
Like a renal listserv.
Let me also ask you whether
I just had on our conference.
Another background noise. someone's having a conversation in the background. Okay. So do mute your phone if you're not talking now. Presenting facts is really important. Now, how is it that do you preface the facts in any way or just sort of offer them?
I typically just sort of offer them.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, I guess the only preface I would make is I'm willing to work with you, but I think you need to know.
Yeah. Okay. I have one little suggestion for you, and that's that word but.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to play around with using the word and instead, because but, in a subtle way, tends to encourage argument or tends to encourage sort of a sense that you two are on opposite sides,
mm-hmm.
that you're going to disagree. And the idea is, of course, to get as much partnership and cooperation as you can. You also might find it useful to take a look at one of my tips. I suppose I'll take a quick moment to see whether I can look it up. It may take me a minute, and I'll try to keep talking. And that's when you're bringing up something that you really suspect may be a tough topic.
Mm-hmm.
Something that the person is going to argue with you about, basically, or it's going to be hard for them to hear, or something like that. I wrote a tip on tough conversations. I think that's what I called it. How to bring up tough stuff. It was tip number 137, which is in volume 3 of the practice workbook. If you don't have volume 3 of the practice workbook and don't plan to purchase it, send me an email and I'll send you a copy of that chapter. It's chapter 137. I think one of the ideas I have in there is to preface it first by asking permission. Might we spend a few minutes with me telling you my experience of working with girls in your situation or something like that? Asking permission to bring up a topic or bring up that, might we talk for a few minutes about this specific goal of losing 12 pounds that you have? Basically asking permission first.
Okay.
Gets their attention, gets them hopefully listening. and then you can even add another preface, something along the lines of, I have some facts for you. Some of these facts are facts of physiology, and some of them are based on my experience over the years and what I have seen. I'd love to hear your response to these after I say them to you. It'll be very important for me to hear your response. Are you ready now for me to tell you this stuff? So you do a sort of a build-up, basically, and make it very clear that their response is going to be heard.
Okay.
People generally are more apt to really listen.
Okay.
Okay.
At a certain point, it almost feels, I don't want to say unethical, but not the right thing to do when you're sort of setting someone up for failure. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's just being pessimistic that they will fail.
Well, let me ask you, what percentage, do you have a rough idea of what percentage of dancers that you work with have been able to maybe follow your little bits of advice about making that there and have actually, their weight has gone down just a bit and they've been able to maintain it and it's been okay?
As far as maintain it, I'm not sure, but probably less than 5%.
Okay.
Because most of them already are at a BMI of, 19.
Already,
and they're trying to get to 18.
Pretty, very, yeah.
Or 17.5, and,
Right, yeah. Well, you literally could give that as a fact, that find is that people aim for a, BMI of 17.5 when they're at 19, that this is what I see. They come, and be as sort of behavior oriented or whatever as you can, you know, that they come back a month later and this is what's happening, or this is what they tell me. They've started binging and they've never done that before and that's scary for them, or, you know, whatever they say to you, you know, just say it back. Say it to these people that you're concerned about.
Okay.
And it's okay to say, I feel it's my job to share that concern with you.
Mm-hmm.
And, not but, and I'll be here for you.
Okay.
If, you know, no matter what happens, I'm not going anywhere. I'll be here. You and I can figure it out, see if things need to be tweaked a bit.
Okay.
How are we doing, Brooke?
That's good. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else you need on this?
No, I think that's a really good place to start.
Okay. And anybody else have any other ideas for Brooke? Okay. Who else would like to chime in?
I've got one question.
Sure. Who's this?
This is Jeanette from Tennessee.
Jeanette?
What do you do when you're giving advice to a patient? And again, I hate to use this giving advice, but you're counseling with a patient. You're interviewing them on you know, their nutrition practices or their experience or whatever, and you know for a fact that they're just flat lying to you. How do you deal with that?
Well, tell me, how is it you know that?
Just
the sense?
Yeah, basically that their numbers couldn't be off as much as they are if they were telling you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, either they're not taking medications like they're supposed to, or they're, you know, going off their diet. Either the numbers are lying or they're lying is sort of the way I look at it, and usually it's not the numbers.
Yeah, so it's maybe someone you've worked with for a little while and they have food records.
Yes. Yes.
Right, that kind of thing. Yeah. I actually have written a tip on this. I'll direct you to it. And it's in volume 2 of the practice workbook. It's tip number 63, when our clients lie to us. And you're welcome to, again, if you don't have volume 2, like it's on page 36. I'll actually look it up right now. It is a very tough situation. No question about it. Page number. Hang on a minute. No, it's tip number 36, and it's on page 63 of volume 2. I think I got that wrong on the other one, too. Anyway, it's page 63, so let me look it up. In the tip I talk about, there are basically two things. Part of it is taking care of yourself, because it hurts when we really are quite sure that somebody is lying to us. It feels awful. So taking a whole bunch of deep breaths, maybe finding someone to talk to afterwards, you know, is not...
Well, you know, here's the thing. I don't take it personal at all. I know these folks are in a difficult position, right? And they're trying to follow a difficult diet. They're taking a lot of medications that aren't always pleasant to take. And I think that they have just thought that they could... I think they're in denial. Some of them are in denial, for sure. And they think they're trying.
They really
I mean, they've convinced themselves that they really are doing what they're supposed to be doing, but they're not. They're obviously not.
Right.
And I don't know how to bring that to a level of conscience, you know, without... making them feel bad.
Right. You don't always know the reason they're lying. It can be anything from literally denial. They just don't. It's below their level of consciousness.
Right.
It could be an addictive process.
Right.
And
it just could be their adaptive. This is the way they handle these difficult issues. This is just what they do.
Right. Yeah. Well, and so then how do you best respond? Basically, what I do is gently inform them of what you see.
Right. That's what I thought. As you can say, okay, here's what I see. Here's where it's supposed to be. You know, there's obviously, you know, something going on that's preventing you from reaching these goals. And
right. Well, you might want to step back even a few more steps back from that.
Okay.
Not assume something's in the way. There probably is something in the way. But
okay.
Do you remember, did you ever see the TV show Columbo with Peter Falk?
A few
he
times.
He played stupid, right? He played stupid, right?
Right.
So I don't know if it could be in your style, or not, but one of the ways that I learned to do this is to say, look, I'm really puzzled here. I'm wondering if you can help me with something.
Well, that's a good idea.
In the book, you know, with someone, a client with anorexia, for example, I hear that you're saying that these food records with about 2,500 calories, that they're accurate, that that's what you're eating. And I'm also seeing that your weight is still going down every week. And, you know, I'm really confused. I'm wondering if you can help me with this.
Mm-hmm.
And I just then stop. I don't say anything else. Even though it was tempting to say, look, you know, there must be something going on here. I know it's hard. You're probably, you know, you're probably lying because you want to make me happy or something. You know, I don't do
right.
that because
okay.
it's not going to do any good anyway. So if I simply say I'm confused, the question is, I hope, gently back on them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you quickly get a whole lot of denials and no, and arguments, you're going to have to keep backing up even more or something.
Right.
But you're more apt, the more you sort of back up and just say, gosh, so this is what I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Darn. And then you maybe you'll get, well, there was that time I ate out. And,
right. You know. Yeah, I've that's happened before.
Yeah. Don't, I think it was Barbara or somebody else, don't jump on it, you know, like saying,
right.
Okay, that's it, you know. But say, oh, that's interesting. Oh, tell me more. Anything else that you can think of, you know? And, let's you and I figure this out together because that keeps it collaborative.
Mm-hmm. I like the Columbo approach. That's really good.
Yeah. And what do you got to lose, you know, at that point?
May I?
Sure. Who is that?
This is Teresa.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm in. Sure.
I was thinking, kind of thinking about what might be effective when talking with somebody who maybe isn't really following something that they should or that you want them to. And I think something I might say to them would be like just being really compassionate and saying, you know, gosh, I think that these guidelines would be really, really difficult to adhere to or to follow. And what do you find the most difficult? Like, what do you find that you just really can't get to or get over or do, and just really be compassionate with them if it, you know, if they're, I don't know what they're trying to follow, but just to kind of, you know, because if you present it like, gosh, I don't think I could do it, you know, what, where are you struggling? And let's go from there.
Yeah, so Teresa, you're essentially indicating that you would be open to hearing how hard it is. That you're
right. Yeah. Like, gosh,
who
I mean,
was, you know.
Yeah. If somebody wanted to put me on a diet, and kind of, you know, said, "Here's some guidelines, whatever they are, you know, this is what needs to happen in order for you to accomplish whatever," you know, I want to eat what I want to eat. You know, I want to do what I want to do. And I don't want somebody to tell me what to do, even though if it's for my health or whatever. So whatever, you know, so just recognizing, you know, gosh, this is a lot. These are really difficult. What are your biggest struggles? Let's talk about that or something along those lines. And, you know, because I wouldn't want anybody telling me what to eat, no matter, you know, what kind of change it was. I want to make those decisions for myself.
Right. Absolutely. And if you indicate that you're open to hearing that,
right,
you're more apt to hear it. Because some of our clients, not that we promote it, I hope, but they sort of think that we only want to hear the good stuff.
Exactly.
Or how easy it is, or how, you know, all the mm-hmm. groceries they found, or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of
mm-hmm.
course, we do get excited when they do, you know, come back with positive stuff. And yet they may think that we can't handle it, or
they don't want to disappoint us.
Right, or something like
yeah.
that. And if you really mm-hmm. suspect it's something like that, for example, if you already sort of know that this is a people-pleaser kind of person, you might at some point say, you know, I find some of my clients, and you might say it that way, my clients feel like they have to always be all, you know, positive with me and can't share what's really, really hard about all
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure you know I know what's really hard, you know, or something like that. Yeah, Tracy,
yes.
You have a really good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Molly.
Good luck.
Yeah, sure. Jeanette, is that enough about that?
That was very helpful. Thanks, Teresa.
Okay.
And thanks, Molly.
Sure. Okay, good. Oh, and you're in Tennessee. Are you going to be making it to Fency next month?
I doubt it.
At the conference. Okay. Well, anyway. I heard one other, we may have time for one quick other comment before we end.
Hey, Molly.
Someone else, I think. Yes?
This is Evangeline Samples, West Virginia.
Hello. Uh-huh.
And I am teaching a college-level nutrition class.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a very big class, but I have people who are mostly very motivated.
Mm-hmm.
I have only about 14 people, but I have three people who sit in the back of my class, and they talk and make noise during the lecture. One of them is
uh-huh.
a first-generation college student.
Mm-hmm.
You just mean, like, following your renal diet, mm-hmm. not, like,
right,
going on diet,
right.
So I was wondering, how do I handle that?
Seriously, that's what you're asking?
Hello?
She thought it was so stupid to end up at the conference call. Problem.
So I was wondering how I deal with people who are really disruptive.
Hi, you know, this is Teresa, and I heard your question, but I don't know what happened because I don't hear Molly anymore, and I don't hear anybody. Yeah, there's some technological thing going on, and I don't really have any good thoughts about dealing with people who are disruptive in class, except for maybe just addressing them and asking them, you know, to be quiet, that there's people who really want to learn and they're being disruptive. That might embarrass them just enough to quiet down.
Right, and then you're wondering about embarrassing people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whenever I'm in class and people are talking near me, I will turn to them and ask them to be quiet.
It might be better coming from a student than
Yeah, I mean, you...
I can never catch him doing it, though. I tried to catch him in the act, but I couldn't.
Did you ever address it before you start your lecture and just...
Yes, I did address it the first day. I said that, and I'm following my director's lead. My director said that the first time that they talk and disrupt class, I'm to have them change seats. The second time, I'm to have them go downstairs to see her, and they can't come back to my class until they've seen her.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, yes, we can hear you, Mom.
I don't know why I got muted somehow. Anyway, I'm back. Yeah, it sounds like you guys are having great ideas.
No, to rescue, really. You can take over because I'm a little, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, it sounds like you have great ideas.
Class.
Yeah, and can
and
they?
I can't
can
catch him in
grade?
The act, really.
Oh, can you have it affect their grade?
You know,
that's tonight.
I haven't talked to my director about that. I would have to get permission. What we're trying to do, we have really low enrollment, and we're trying to retain students.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it sounds like you do.
And
have
I have a first generation, one of them
it.
Is a first generation college student.
Yeah, and that seems to be part of the issue. Yeah.
Right.
Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time, guys. We've covered all sorts of topics, and this has been great. And if any of you wanted a copy of any of the tips that I talked about, feel free to email me if you don't have them in one of the books. Also, one of the ways to find the tips, I've written 150-some of them. So if you go on my site and go to the page with the tips, there's also a link to an alphabetical list of them. So you can look there through the list and see if you can find a topic that you might be looking for. Though I am glad at any time to have you email me, and I might have written a tip on something, and I'll send it out. So, okay, and anybody who's going to FENCI, the Academy's big conference in Nashville beginning of next month, I will be there on Sunday. I will be at my booth at the Member Marketplace. Please do stop by. And I will also be giving a presentation on Monday at 1 o'clock. The topic is Health at Every Size and Motivational Interviewing. I will be presenting with Ellen Glovsky. So, I hope I'll see some of you. Okay. Well, take care, and everybody have a good weekend. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.